The discussion about legal marijuana in both of our states changed greatly within the last 24 hours. The U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced he was changing his department's approach to marijuana. Rather than a blanket look-the-other-way policy on states with legal pot, he'll leave it up to the U.S. attorneys in the states to decide whether to prosecute under the continuing federal prohibition on marijuana. Oregon's U.S. attorney gave a short statement signaling little change in policy in Oregon. In California, it gets more interesting. The U.S. attorney for the northern part of the state is leaving after today, suddenly, to go into private practice. And the U.S. attorney for the eastern part of California is just starting the job. In short, wait and see. In the meantime, local jurisdictions continue to move ahead with their own marijuana regulations. That includes a newly passed ordinance on pot grows in rural residential areas in Josephine County. That is where Julie Smeltzer is the community development director and one of our guests on The Exchange. Hi, Julie.
Good morning.
Cody Seiler is with us as well. He's the founder of a marijuana business. Hi, Cody.
Hey, good morning.
And we have Jake Johnstone with us as well. He is the District 14 Water Master for the Oregon Water Resources Department. Hi, Jake.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, Julie, let's start with you. I have to assume that based on the fact that there's been no specific orders other than just within the Justice Department, that Josephine County will just proceed as planned.
At the current time, yes, that is what we plan on doing. We did pass an ordinance. It becomes effective on March 5th. So we are proceeding with business as usual unless we hear otherwise from the state.
All right. So March 5th, basically 60 days from today. What is the basic gist of the ordinance?
Well, the basic gist of the ordinance is to say that if you're going to grow on rural residential land, which is land whose primary purpose is for residential, that you're limited in size of what you can grow. If you're going to do a larger grow, you have to be on rural residential property that's more than 5 acres, and you have a certain amount of time to get that grow size down to a micro tier two. But the effect would be to hopefully push more of the large agricultural crops out onto the agricultural land, which is where most people have their farm, where you typically would see farming crops such as hay or beans or something. So it's really to try and keep those residential areas residential and the farming areas more used more for farming.
Just in the brief description you're giving of trying to you know make the grows smaller on rural residential land, it sounds like there's quite a bit of wrinkles to this ordinance. Is it a multi-page document?
No, it's not. It's actually 5 pages.
Oh, okay. Well, that's multiple pages, but So it takes effect March 5th, and how well defined are the procedures under? I mean, how much do you have to do in the community development department to get ready for this, to figure out what the procedures will be and any regulations that come along with the ordinance itself?
Well, the only thing we have to work on yet is the policy on how we are going to process variances. So people can get a variance on any dimensional requirement, such as a setback or a size number. But we do want a policy on that because our code allows some of those variances to be processed in-house by myself or kicked up to a higher level like the Planning Commission. And the commissioners have expressed they do want some type of expedited process to make it easier on the marijuana growers to actually go through and see if they're going to get a variance and everything. So we're working on a policy right now which would say which ones I can just do in-house under what standards and which ones we would kick to that higher review level. And we're working on that this month, actually.
Would it be based on size or complexity or something else?
That hasn't been defined yet.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe whether someone is legal or not will play a big role into that. For example, if you have your OLCC license, mm-hmm, and you have all your permits from the county, that may work in your favor. But like you said, that policy has not been defined yet.
Okay, so a couple of steps left before this goes into effect on March 5th. Cody Seiler, tell us a bit about your involvement in the cannabis business.
Yeah, well, I had moved from across seas a couple years ago. I was living in Stockholm, Sweden, and I got word that it was legalized here in the state of Oregon, which is my home state. So I made the decision to move back and utilize the property my family's owned since the late 70s to build an indoor cannabis facility. So over the past year and a half or so, I've been under construction, and I've been trying to build a state-of-the-art production facility. It's fully sustainable. But, you know, as you are aware of, there's been some hiccups, so I've had some things delay my process a little bit. So my facility is currently under construction as I work with Lily and some of our commissioners here to, you know, work out the, you know, the specifics so that, you know, I know that I'm compliant because I'm someone who believes that we need to be more heavily regulated. You know, there's been a lot of issues in this industry and specifically for this county because there's such a large amount of people getting into this industry. So that's kind of what my involvement has been. I don't have too much experience in this industry, but I studied business. I studied entrepreneurship both here in the States and overseas. So I came back with the hopes of starting a cannabis company that I could be proud of. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. You know, I'm slowly working through this process with some of the local officials here to make sure everything, you know, gets put in the right place so that other farms can exist as well on rural residential properties.
Where do you stand in relation to the new ordinance? Are you building on rural residential and agricultural land?
I am.
And rural residential?
I'm an RR5, so we have about 8.5 acres, and we have an adjoining parcel that's another 12.
All right, and does the fact that you got the two parcels that adjoin make things a little more complicated?
No, it doesn't, because we're only utilizing one at the moment, which is an 8.5-acre parcel.
Mm-hmm. Julie Schmelzer, how much does the ordinance talk about indoor versus outdoor grows on rural residential land?
Well, it talks about from the aspect of, you know, when you're looking at a micro tier two is what you could have if you're more than 5 acres. So a micro tier two basically defines between an indoor and an outdoor. So if you're indoor, you would be able to have 1,250 square feet of canopy. If you're outdoor, that could be 5,000. So that's really the differentiation that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have, and the other thing is all marijuana plants have to be 100 feet from our side property line. However, if you have a building that was legally permitted and it predated this code, then, of course, you could have the marijuana in there and not have to have that 100-foot setback. So let's say you have a greenhouse that was permitted last year, and it's only 50 feet from the lot line. That would be allowable. But basically, you know, there's the setbacks that apply, and then those size limitations. And size limitations do vary versus inside and outside, but that's per, you know, those size limitations come out of the OLCC regulations. So we're not doing anything new there. We're using the same size limitations for the micro tier as OLCC has.
It sounds like for anybody who's interested in starting a marijuana grow in Josephine County now, you're going to have to ask at least 6 questions before they can even begin to know which paperwork to go for.
What we require is if you want to grow marijuana, you have to apply for a development permit to grow marijuana.
Mm.
And we take it from there. If they meet all the requirements, they get the permit. If they need a variance, they're going to have to apply for a variance. After that, they're good until the following year. What we will require is a compliance certificate every year thereafter to make sure they stay in compliance. But initially, that startup is, you know, assuming they're in compliance with everything already, you know, the buildings have been permitted and everything. It's just a matter of one thing for sure, which is that development permit, possibly two, which would be the variance application.
We're talking about Josephine County's new marijuana ordinance for grows on rural residential land, greater restrictions coming into effect to bring Josephine County more or less in line with neighboring counties. You can join the conversation in the exchange as we talk to Julie Schmelzer, the Community Development Director, Cody Seiler, who's in the marijuana business, and Jake Johnstone, who's a water master for the region. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Jake Johnstone, let's bring you in here. I mean, how much do you or any water masters get involved in water issues with cannabis farms?
Well, I mean, we approach water issues on a case-by-case, and the department itself doesn't necessarily have any kind of stigma towards marijuana. We just approach it as another crop. Now, if it's going to be a commercial crop, then it's required to have a water right or trucked in water. And with that trucked in water, they got to have proof of purchase on that. But as far as, you know, it's a new industry, you know, it's growing in the region and it's affecting our workload, of course. But it is, again, a situation that we just take these case by case.
So I'm curious to know how much more complicated your job gets with different rules across the landscape, county to county, city to county, and so on. Or is it really just a matter of if you are growing X, you need to have water rights for it?
You know, that's a great question, and I'm glad you asked it. It's the latter of the two. We're not really affected. Oregon State water law isn't necessarily affected by county ordinances and zoning changes. So for us, we just approach it from a commercial ag standpoint, as in Oregon water law requires a water right for commercial agriculture. So we, you know, the zoning ordinances don't necessarily affect how I go about my business as a state water master.
Okay, so it's really the water in, water out, and where they have a right for it is what you're looking at.
That's correct.
Okay. Cody Seiler, let's bring you in here because obviously there can be, we're hearing about the level of complexity already. How much of a learning process has it been for you? You mentioned learning some business skills and some entrepreneurship, but trying to navigate what it takes to grow marijuana in Oregon, how difficult was that to learn?
Well, I started from square one. So first thing I did was I hired some consultants on growing. I wanted to learn as much as I could about the process from start to finish. And then I began looking into different types of building structures. Early on, I made a decision to grow indoor cannabis because I recognized that in Southern Oregon, a large majority, what I would say is at least 90% of the market is all outdoor production. So then I began learning about the different types of facility requirements that you would need to cultivate a superior product indoors. So I went from learning how to grow the product with some consultants to learning about different building materials, different types of environmental controls, different types of lighting. So I went, you know, from square one about the growing to square two about the construction. And then now here I am trying to figure out the legality issues and working with the county. So the entire process has been a huge learning curve for me. But something that I've actually come to love and really enjoy, especially when it comes to working with some of our county officials like Julie, you know, it's very pleasant to go in and have these good conversations with them. But it's been a huge learning process and a tremendous experience, a lot of stress at times, but I enjoy it. I think for me personally, as an aspiring entrepreneur, the amount of stress kind of drives and motivates me in a way, so I kind of feed off that. But yeah, it's been a good learning process, and I'm hoping that, you know, for people like myself, who I consider a white-collar grower, We can work with the county to settle on some ordinances and rules that don't affect us in such a great a way that it keeps us from going into business, because there's a lot of people like myself who've invested a lot of time and money into this experience, and so it would be just a huge disappointment to see all that kind of go to waste.
Have you grown a crop yet then, Cody?
I have not, no. My building's about 80% complete at this point.
So are you in order with the ordinance as it is going to be? I wasn't clear on that.
I am, yeah. The only thing that Julie brought up that applies to myself is my facility was constructed before some of these setback requirements were put in place.
Mm-hmm.
But I will be able to use that building because it was constructed before that time. But, yes, I'm in line with the ordinances. My facility can produce about 260 square feet more than what the micro tier requires. So other than that, maybe I have to scale back. Maybe I don't. I mean, we'll see. Those kinds of things will be determined at a later date. But other than that, I'm all lined up with the ordinance.
Did you attend any of the hearings that led to the ordinance?
Just about every single one of them.
Uh-huh. And what did you see there?
You know, I see a lot of people's positions from the opposing and from mine. And I can't help but sympathize with some of the people who've made the complaints and have been affected by some of these farms that have been constructed on rural residential properties. But you see a lot of these people who've been hurt. They've they've had bad experiences with the neighbors, whether they be unfriendly. There's issues with traffic and smell and crowding. You have these forms of compounds. So, you know, you hear a lot of these people's positions, and for a person like myself, I can't help but sympathize with them. But you also see the commissioners, you know, they're really trying to compensate for both people. I mean, we have a very interesting demographic here. You know, you have a lot of retirees, and then you have a lot of people moving to this area to enter this industry. So the county commissioners, along with Julie Schmelzer, have been put in a very difficult position trying to compensate for both of those parties. So, you know, some commissioners may seem like they're in a little bit more support than others, but it's been an interesting process to kind of watch and be a part of.
Three commissioners in Josephine County, two voted yes, one abstained. Julie Schmelzer is our one of our guests here on the exchange right now, the community development director at the staff level, obviously. Cody Seiler runs a marijuana business. Jake Johnstone's with us as well. He's the District 14 water master from the Oregon Water Resources Department. And we're talking about Josephine County's new rural residential marijuana grow ordinance. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Julie, are there lots of cases like Cody's where people saw that there was a lot going on in Oregon and moved here specifically to grow marijuana and specifically to Josephine County because it didn't have an ordinance like this previously?
Yes. we've actually had, I can recall one girl in particular. She showed up at a couple of the hearings, and I remember her saying, you know, look, the whole reason why I moved here is because you didn't have rules. Well, we were just behind on getting the rules in place, but, you know, it's not uncommon to have rules. I mean, from my perspective, this is a business. The marijuana industry is a business. I don't know of any business that doesn't have rules to follow. So I think it's expected that there's going to be some rules that you have to follow with this business as well. We have, you know, the OLCC growers that have applied for land use compatibility statement or have already been issued a license. There's a few out of the area on that, but we've seen an influx of people that we question whether or not they have medical marijuana cards or growing for somebody or if they're flat out illegal. So that's one of our challenges right now is trying to narrow out who's done it by the books, you know, who is legal that we can possibly look at grandfathering. And I hate to use that term grandfathering because it's really called legal nonconforming use. But then there's this...
But that's the way people understand it. It existed before the ordinance did or before the rules changed.
Yeah. Right, and then there's this other segment that literally just, I think, came out here, what we call the green rush. You know, they came out, they thought they were going to get rich, and maybe they did. But we get a lot of complaints about those, you know, where there's, you know, 10 trucks all from out of state, and they've got guns outside, and a bunch of barking dogs all the time.
And these are the things that concern the people who live in rural residential areas.
Right, the rural residential people, and again, the purpose of the ordinance says this is for residential. So we do allow some farming. It's intended to be small, although the current ordinance doesn't have caps on it. The current ordinance does, however, say if you're going to farm, you cannot be a nuisance to your neighbor. So we start having all these neighborhood feuds. People are complaining about people from out of the area coming in and causing more problems. And we have to start saying, okay, we either need to have to go after them as a nuisance, which is a lot of legal work, or you pass a code which defines more specifically what we expect out of a grower in an agricultural area.
All right.
In a residential
area. Okay. Let's take a call here. We have Michelle and Talent on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hello. This is a question for... Mr. Jones, the water master, and this concerns on rural residential wells being dug for the commercial use, I mean, specifically for grows, but how that affects neighboring properties who have wells.
Ah, good question.
And how the wells being dug these days to, for grows, affect those people who have wells that they live with, have to use.
Let's go to our
water. I was wondering if the state has anything to say about that.
All right. Thanks for that, Michelle. Appreciate it. Jake Johnstone?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Michelle. I do have something to say about that. So if it's a commercial grow, an OLCC grow, as part of the application process, there's a verification of source of water. In Jackson County, that involves a visit to the water master's office. So if they have a water right from a well, then it means that they've gone through a review process with the groundwater section in Salem. And the groundwater section in Salem looked at all the data, meaning water rights in the area, observation well data, and stream flow data to make a decision on whether or not there could be a commercial agricultural permit for a water right out of a well. If it's new folks moving in and starting up a commercial grow, again, they still have to apply for a water right. And in that application, again, there will be a groundwater review. So there is, in fact, a review process for those water rights, for groundwater rights out of wells.
Will any well driller go through and make sure all the paperwork's in order before they start drilling?
You are allowed to drill a well prior to the water right going in. It could be just like any domestic well. There's not necessarily a big difference in the construction of a domestic well in Southern Oregon versus a agricultural well. There will be an intent of what the well is to be used for. So the well driller will check a box on a well log. But if they are applying for a water right, then there has to be a review of that process. So, anyone can have a licensed and bonded well driller come drill a domestic well for them. What they intend to use it for after the case or after the fact. Again, if it's going to be commercial, it would require a water right.
Okay. Jake Johnstone is the District 14 Water Master for the Oregon Water Resources Department. We've also been hearing about the Josephine County Rural Residential Marijuana Grow Ordinance from Julie Schmelzer, the Community Development Director, and Cody Seiler, who runs a marijuana business. Thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having
us.
You bet. We will hear an opposition side of the ordinance next Wednesday, January 10th, here on the Jefferson Exchange as well. And that'll do it for this hour of the Exchange. Thanks for listening.